Father, I thank you again that we are here together to praise the Lord together, to pray together, have fellowship together, to read the Word of God together, and to share together. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For they continue daily, the scripture says, in the apostles' doctrines, in breaking of bread, in fellowship, you know, from house to house and all. And we thank you for this platform that allows us this daily fellowship. We declare today that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Praise the Lord. So God bless everybody that is here in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to be reading Psalm 126. I've been ministering some declarations today, some prayers and some words of faith. And harvesting, we're believing for a harvesting of joy that's coming to you because of your tears of faith. Psalm 126, when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Hallelujah. Just think about that. Something that might have held you captive. There are many things, you know, that lead into captivity. Negative thoughts, blockers of different kinds, the devil himself, hold us captive, hold us back, you know. But when the Lord suddenly changes that story, then it looks as if it was a dream. It says, then was our mouth filled with laughter. I'm going to read this psalm one way, and I'm going to read it another way. And our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. Hallelujah. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. Now, I want to read this again prophetically as we are closing out this quarter and about to enter into a new quarter. Let's read it this way. You know, now, this is a testimony of something that the Lord has done. There's some captivity that he has released you from. Well, but let's declare it even forward. Hallelujah. You know, when the Lord shall have turned our captivity again, then it'll be as though we were coming out of a dream. Then shall our mouth be filled with laughter again, and our tongue with singing. Then will they say among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. And indeed, the Lord has done great things for us. And the Lord will do even greater things. Great things he has done, and greater things he will do, whereof we are glad, and whereof we shall be glad. Even as Jesus said, he said to his disciples at the time, you know, you haven't really asked me anything. Ask that your joy may be full. I know we've been asking a lot, but ask even more that your joy might be full. The Lord wants our joy to be full. And I say, Lord, turn again the captivity of your people. captive exile shall be set free by the word of the Lord. Even as it streams in the south, when the stream is going one way and all of a sudden the stream goes a different way. You know, they that sow in tears, because you have sown in tears, or because you have been sowing your tears of faith before the Lord, you will reap in joy. Hallelujah. A harvest of joy is coming for you because of your tears of faith. It's an assurance from the Lord that says, he that goeth forth and weepeth. It's crying unto the Lord. You're not just being sorrowful. You're crying unto the Lord. This poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord delivered him out of all his fears. Because you're crying unto the Lord in faith, hallelujah, there is a promise from the Lord that you are coming, you'll be returning again with rejoicing, bringing in sheaves, harvest, you know, a harvest of joy coming your way. First of all, I want to thank the Lord for this quarter that is finishing up today. Many of us have testimonies already of what God has done this quarter. Great things that he has already done, and greater things he will do. The stuff that you're still praying about, still believing God for, remember, the Lord said at the beginning of this year, it is the year of my redeemed, saith the Lord. The day of vengeance is in my heart. The Lord said, well, that one is future, but the year of my redeemed has come. And the Lord gave us that word, and we believed it. We declared it at just as the Lord gave it to us. You know, there is a time that the Lord is going to bring judgment. He's going to bring judgment to this world, but it's not quite yet. Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 4. For the day of vengeance is in my heart. He knows it, but it's still a ways off. But as far as the year of the redeemed, he said, the year of my redeemed is here. Ha! Glory to God. And so the time has come for us to continually rejoice. Be laughing in and out of fellowship, in and out of church. The Lord promised it. The tears of faith that we have rendered and continue to render. The psalmist said, my tears have been my companion all day long. My pillow is wet. But he also said, I will rejoice in the Lord. Why thou cast down, O my soul? Why thou disquieted within me? You know, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. I shall rejoice for the light of his countenance. Joy is coming in the morning, he said. He said, sorrow may endure for a night. Well, during the night time, everything looks gloomy and all of that. But there is something to look forward to. The Lord set it up like that. Look forward to the break of day. There will be a break of day. Praise the Lord. And the break of day is coming for you in this new quarter that we're about to enter in, praise the Lord, in so many ways. We'll be having also the contending prayers coming for this Saturday. That will spring forth many things. It's like a springboard for you. Enter into many things, praise God. Many breakthroughs are coming. You know, the doors that are closed, they're going to swing wide open. I have set before you an open door. Actually, more than one open door. Many open doors. You got to do find the door. Walk right in. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. There are many times that we carry burdens, sometimes burden in prayer. Prayer burden, when we cry unto the Lord, that's a good thing because he will take care of it. But sometimes we carry the burden on our own without help. Help from, you know, prayer intercessors, but more so help from the Lord. Prayer intercessors are very good, you know, to help you and help each other when we are down. You know, the powerful stories in the Bible, Moses, Aaron, you know, and Hor, the story that God tells us. Moses was doing the holding up of his hands, you know, in Exodus chapter 17. Battle was going down below. Joshua was fighting with the army. Moses was at the mountain praying. He was holding up the battle in prayers. But I guarantee you, he couldn't do it by himself. You know, at one point in time, his hands became heavy, lifted up his hands in prayer. And as long as his hands were up, you know, Joshua and the rest of them were winning the battle. When his hands were down, they started to lose. You know, and this is it looks like just a simple story, you know, but there is a powerful lesson, you know, that God will teach us out of it. See, you really can't go it alone. You can't do it. Yeah, some people try to go alone. You know, Jesus never taught us that. In fact, even when he sent out his disciples on a training mission, he sent them two by two. And he gave us promises around that. Said, if any two of you, that's right, shall believe together, you know, I'll be right there. I'll do it because I'll be right in their midst. He didn't always say, you know, go alone when you are praying, you know. And sometimes we try to do that. You know, we try to go alone. Well, you know, you can only try to go alone if there is no helper, if there are no prayer intercessors. That's not the Bible pattern. You know, Bible pattern says, if you are sick, call for the elders of the church. I mean, if you have something going on, you know, reach out for prayer. Don't try to go alone. Sometimes people try to go alone. You try to go alone, you know, you'll be easy pickings for the devil. Jesus himself did not try to go alone. He called three of his disciples, said, come and pray with me in the garden. He wasn't trying to do it alone. You know, in this darkest hour, he needed prayer support. Praise God. I want to talk to you about calling in the Calvary. That's right. You know, praise God. You got to know where your prayer support comes from. You know, when the people put the battle to the array, the military, the army, and they go in and so forth, you know, the ground soldiers, when they go in for battle, sometimes they have to call in for air support. That's right. You know, when the battle is very thick, you know, and sometimes they may even be pinned down. Their enemies have got them pinned down. They don't think that they can get out of there. Well, they radio in for air support. Glory to God. You know, I want you to radio in when you are back to the corner for air support. Call in the cavalry. There's always people ready to pray with you. Now, not everybody, you know. I mean, there's some people that don't have any faith that are going to run you down. You don't need those kind of people in your corner. You know, when you're trying to get something done and trying to get, you know, a breakthrough, and you talk to somebody and they tell you some negative stuff, cut them loose. You don't want those people in your corner. But you want that people that are going to hold up your hand in prayer, that are going to hold you up. So let's look at this, this story here that we see when the Amalekites came, and fought with Israel in Rephidim, we're told. Moses said, look, go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow. This is Joshua 17 and verse 8. And tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and he fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. But Moses at first, he was trying to do it alone. He couldn't do it alone. You cannot do this alone. Now he said, it says here, it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. But there came a time when his hands became heavy. How long can you hold up your hands in prayer? And he was doing a good job. Was holding it up and praying, and declaring victory for the battle that was going on in the valley below. But after a while, his hands became heavy, naturally. Not that, he was weary in the spirit. He was still going in the spirit. But naturally, his hands became heavy from just holding it up for too long, Moses' hands became heavy. He just hold up the hands for so long, maybe after an hour or two of just holding up those hands in prayer like that, they became heavy. These other two guys recognized that. And they stepped in. Ha! Glory to God. They stepped in. They took a stone, put it under him, first of all, so that he could see it. And these are prayer helpers. Yeah, sit down. And then they held up his arms. That's right. They already saw that, look, these hands need to be up for Israel to get that victory. And they've seen that. But the man that's standing in the gap, doing the declaring and the praying, his hands became heavy. So his partners, and helpers, they saw this. They said, wow. So they got in there, helped him to raise up his hands. And when they did, the battle reversed again. Israel was winning at first. They started to lose when Moses' hands got heavy and were coming down. God put this story out there for a lesson for us. And when they were able to stay his hands up, help him up, give him something to sit under, raised those hands up, held his hands up for him, the battle turned around again and Israel started winning again. God showing us, that this force of prayer help coming from trusted partners is amazing and unbelievable. But if you try to go it alone all the time, that's not the pattern. There was even in the next chapter, the same Moses still hadn't learned. The next chapter, he was still trying to go it alone. There was something he was doing all the time, all by himself. He would sit and judge all of Israel all day long. Everybody lined up, brought their matters, little or big or whatever. Some people had prayer needs, some people had physical needs, some people had counseling, some people had whatever, and Moses was the only one from morning till night. And because he was the only one, the lines were long. But you can only speak to one person at a time. You can only minister to one person at a time. And this thing was taking him a long time to do, a very long time to do. Now, his father-in-law, Jethro, was observing what Moses was doing. He came to the man and said, look, I know you are a man of God and everything. I heard all the things that the Lord did for you in, you know, through you in Egypt and so forth. But this right here that you are doing, I'm going to tell you two things. Now, you're going to kill yourself and wear the people out. You go, look at the lines. The lines are too long. You can't do this alone. Look, I'm going to tell you this. I know you're a man of God. Now, you think about it. You pray about it. If the Lord tells you so, here's my advice. But, you know, you seek the Lord and see if it's goodly advice. Here's what you need to do. Set up the people. Set up, you know, some leaders above the people. You know, this and this, hundreds or whatever, you know. And then let them take care of the little matters. Now, the big ones that they can't resolve, let them bring it to you. And also matters of faith, you know, instructing, hearing from Lord to tell them, you handle that. But give out all these other things. You need help. You need help, you know. And Moses, thank God. Now, Moses didn't say, well, you know, I'm a man of God. Where called the Spirit of God from me to you for you to tell me something? He didn't say that. He humbled himself, you know. And he just listened. He said, wow, you know, this looks like good advice, you know. And sometimes you need godly advice. And where it might come from might not even be where you're thinking. You know, Jethro wasn't even in the category of Moses. He hadn't seen the pillar of fire. They couldn't go near those pillar of fire. Those people couldn't do it. Jethro was the one Moses was the one that went there. In the burning bush. They couldn't do it. The others couldn't do it. The Midianites couldn't do it. You know, but he did it. And he'd gone and done all those things. And he came back again. And the great testimonies. You know, Jethro was a priest of sorts. But not the category of Moses, but he was the one I advised him. And basically what he was saying is, you need help. That's it. So that's the thing that I'm saying today. God is going to give you a breakthrough, but you need help. You need help. You know, so, and, you know, sometimes, you know, we just keep those things to ourselves. You need help. You know, what everybody needs to do is find some trusted prayer partners. You know, that can help you when you need help. This is the reason. Even God said to Adam, you know, looked at him, looked at Adam and said, look, I don't know. I mean, this man, he can't go it alone. You know, I got to find a helper for him. Glory to God. So from the beginning, it was like that. And it's still like that today. And when you are in need of prayer, call in the prayer Calvary. Glory to God. And there are some, you know, that's just what, you know, they do. You know, they are called prayer intercessors. They stand in the gap for you. And if you have a friend like that, one or two friends like that, you are blessed. You know, you can always reach out to everybody. Needs a little help from time to time. Jesus himself did, you know, so Moses did, all these great people, they did, you know, so you can't go it alone. That's one lesson I want you to learn out of that. The title of the room doesn't look quite like that, but it's a lesson I want you to learn. It's a subtitle, you know, prayer helpers needed. Calling the Calvary, you know. They come in, they help you. Jesus said it powerful. Remember, these powerful promises are what makes us partakers of the divine nature. We're just talking about God's DNA. One of these powerful promises that Jesus made, he made it to his disciples and then also all of us in Matthew chapter 18. Praise the Lord. And that's what he said. He said, look, again, I say unto you, you know, verily, verily, first of all, he says unto you, whatever ye shall bind, so that's plural now, whatever ye shall bind shall be bound in heaven. Whatever ye shall lose, that's plural, shall be loosed in heaven. And again, I say unto you, now, for the binding and loosening to be effective, you can't do it alone. Jesus said, look, let me tell you a secret. You need someone that can agree with you. If two of you shall agree, remember, one of you can chase 1,000. two of you, when you get in there, you put 10,000s to flight, not even chase them. You put them to flight, you know, but you need that prayer support. And Jesus said, look, again, I say unto you, if two of you, it's a powerful stuff, shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask. Well, the problem is, most of the time we don't agree. You know, and if you don't agree, don't try to pray with the person, because you're going to be more a blocker, you know, than a helper or an enabler. The enablers you need in your life are the people that are going to believe the Lord with you. Believe the Lord. He said, look, he said, yeah, you got this and I got your back. Glory to God. And they'll be right there with you in the trenches. They roll up their sleeves, their prayer sleeves, and say, we got this. Let's do this. Daniel, you know, he had some prayer helpers. There was a time they learned that the king had dreamt a dream that, you know, he forgot. And he was asking an unreasonable demand of all his astrologers, soothsayers, Chaldeans, and everybody. He said, look, you guys, this dream has gone away from me. I don't remember. It was an awful dream. But you guys must tell me the dream. You know, and the people say, come on, king. I mean, there's no king anywhere that would ask this kind of, make this kind of demand. You tell us a dream. I mean, how are we supposed to tell you your dream? It was your dream, not ours. You tell us the dream. There's no Chaldean or soothsayer or astrologer anywhere that can do the thing that the king is asking. People normally tell the dreams, and then the people that have the wisdom will tell you the interpretation. So you tell us a dream. And the king was furious. He said, you know that the thing is gone from me, and so you're looking for time. And so I said, no, this is not done. You tell us, we'll tell you. So the king, kings can be mean like that for at times. They have absolute power. The king made a decree. If you don't tell me this thing, I'm going to kill all of you. I'm going to have all of you killed. All the wise men. Even those who were not listening at the time when the king was saying that, the decree passed on all of them. So Daniel heard it, and his friends, and they were among the wise men, you know. And so he said, all of you are going to be killed. And they said, wow, all of us for what? You know, he said, well, you know, the king had a dream. He couldn't remember it, and nobody could tell him the dream. He said, tell him the dream. Did he tell them the dream? He said, no. But he said, asking us to tell him the dream. And then the interpretation said, wow. Daniel looked up and I said, my goodness, this is something else. But we know who can do it. You know. So he called in the cavalry. Glory to God. He called in his friends. He said, look, this thing is real. I mean, this is going down. And you guys, let's get into prayer together. Hallelujah. You know. And he did it too. You know, he called in his friends. They got in prayer together. They believed the Lord together. They prayed all night long with tears. Hallelujah. And then the word of the Lord came to Daniel because of the prayers of his friends. Glory to God. It wasn't just Daniel. Esther was in the same boat. One day, you know, when it was learned that Haman was plotting to kill all the Jews, her uncle Mordecai said to her, you know, you already have favor. You are in the palace now. God put you up for such a time. Now you go before the king and ask for his favor to overturn this thing. Esther said, I can't go before the king unless the king calls me. That's suicide. Anybody that goes to the king without the king calling him is suicide. You know, but she said, well, but there's also a possibility, there's a chance that the king might hold out the scepter. And if he holds out the scepter, that means you got his favor. Well, the uncle said, I don't care whether he holds out the scepter or not, or what you think, you go in there and do it. Because if you don't do this thing, which may be the reason why God put you there, You know, don't think that you'll be safe in the palace. This decree will get you too. And then God might raise up help from somewhere else, and then you'll be ashamed. Yeah, you should have done this thing. So Esther said, okay. I'm going to do it, but I need help. Glory to God. I'm going to do it, but I need help. You guys get together 3 days and fast for me. And then I will go before the queen. And if I perish, I perish. But I know she called in the cavalry. You got to call in the cavalry when you're going through and when you're facing through. And the Lord will give you the victory. You know, now, it's not just one person's prayer at times that can do it. You know, sometimes you need a little help. And when you can get the right person agreeing with you, it's so powerful. You know, you have that burden. It's not everybody you have to tell the burden of your heart to. Some people don't really care. You know, and they'll trample the thing underfoot. Bible, Jesus said, look, don't cast your pearls before swine or your jewels. Don't give your jewels to dogs and all these things. Don't do it because they'll just trample the thing. You know, they tell you, come on, you can't do that. That's nonsense. You know, and then see, they weaken your faith. They weaken your hands like that. Now, you don't do that. Find a trusted prayer partner or find a trusted prayer group. Yeah. Some of you have that already. You call in the cavalry when you are in need. And prayer need. Say, somebody standing in the need of prayer. It's you standing in the need of prayer. Call in the cavalry. They will hold your hands up in prayer. And when they do, together, God will give you an answer of peace. Amen. And then you'll be able to say, wow, when the Lord turned our captivity. See, we were like them that dreamt. Glory to God. Today, the cavalry is here. This weekend, the cavalry will be there for you. They'll stand in the gap for you. We'll be doing that for you in a contending prayer. You got to pray for yourself too. I mean, it's not that, look, I'm only looking for somebody to pray for me all the time. No, you pray for yourself. You got to lose your own self from the bands around your neck. According to Isaiah 52 and verse 2, there are some things you got to do. But the Bible also recognizes that there are some things that your hands will be weary. The hands that hang down and the feeble knees. When Moses' knees became feeble, they put a stone under him for him to sit down and give some rest to the feeble knees. When his hands were heavy, they held up his hands. The hands that hang down, see, and the feeble knees need some support. And you've been praying about it alone by yourself. You're almost there, but you need a little boost. That's right. The boost comes from prayer helpers. Glory to God. Now, don't put your prayer out there on the street. That's not going to help you, you know. They will just trample it down. Find the trusted people that can believe with you. Now, I tell you something. You know, if somebody brings me a prayer request, I'm going to believe with him. You know, so I don't believe. Say, look, I'm going to believe with you because with God, nothing shall be impossible. And also, if we believe, nothing shall be impossible. You know, doesn't matter to me what they are believing. I just believe God. And I say, look, let's believe God together. Glory to God. You know, praise God. But you got to do your due diligence. You know, you got to do your, you know, we teach people this stuff all the time. Do your due diligence. Do your research. Make sure you're in alignment with the conditions for the promise that you are standing on. That's the case. That's it. You know, one promise that we want to stand on today is what we are reading here in Psalm 126. They that sow in tears, they shall reap in mercy. They reap with joy. Break up your fallow ground. It is time to sow in righteousness and reap in mercy. You know, now you've been sowing in righteousness. You've been sowing tears of faith. Now, tears alone, you know, of sorrow doesn't mean anything. God doesn't, you know, that doesn't move God. Those are the keys. That's why, you know, that's the secret. That's why some people have keys, but the key doesn't work. Some people say prayer is the key. There's a song like that. Prayer is the key, prayer is the key. Well, it may not work. You know, it's not just prayer. It's the faith in that prayer, during that prayer. It's not just the prayer by itself. You pray a bunch of stuff, you know, that has no faith behind it. God's not obligated. What God responds to is your faith. Now, when you mingle those tears, that's why I call it tears of faith, not just tears of sorrow. Tears of sorrow don't do anything. It's a tears of faith. You mingle those prayers with faith. The thing that is hurting, place where the shoe hurts, the thing that is hurting, that you're hurting over, you call upon the name of the Lord with your, the burden of your heart, but you do it by faith. Praise the Lord. What does the by faith part mean? Well, it means you know the Lord is going to come through for you. He's going to do it. You know, you don't go in, you know, with these type of prayers thinking, well, maybe the Lord will do it. Maybe he won't do it. Well, you might as well not pray, you know. So you go in expecting to win. Now, we talked about winners and losers a couple weeks ago. When you go in with these kind of prayers, you know, like we go into contending prayer, we go in expecting to come out with results. We're not just praying as an exercise. What is that? You know, we're going in there to get the results. When you go in into a battle, you don't go in to just fight. You go in to win. You got to vanquish the enemy. Take no prisoners. Finish them off. That's what you do. When we go in prayers, we're going in to win. We're not just going, you know, to pray. Maybe God will do it. Maybe he won't do it. Maybe it's his will. Maybe it's not his will. Well, if you don't know his will, don't pray. Spend time to find his will first. Figure out what the will of God is. Well, you know, if it's the will of God for you to carry that cross, then carry it. And pray for grace to carry it. You know, that's what a lot of people do. But it may be you haven't sought the will of God in the matter. You know, burdens like sicknesses and diseases, that's never the will of God. Otherwise, Jesus would not have paid the price for it. How would he be paying the price and then negating his own redemptive work that he did by putting the same sickness upon you that he paid for to heal you from? That doesn't mean anything. That's nonsense. You know, that's not God. You know, but it's not just sickness. It's everything. Hosea chapter 10 verse 12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Well, I say, sow to yourselves tears of faith. Reap a harvesting of joy. Glory to God. And so let's think about it. This is the last day of the last month of this first quarter of this year. That's right. And so for 3 months out of this year, perhaps you've been believing something based on what the Lord said at the beginning of the year. Some of you already got a lot of victories this year. Or a lot. Praise God. You know, sharing with my wife in prayer, and we're going through all the victories we already have this year. The blessings in our family. And some of you already have blessings, you know, this year, marriages and different things, you know. Now, there may be some things also that are still lingering. They did not necessarily start lingering this year. They've been lingering before, but this year, because of God's promise that it will be the year of the redeemed, we were expecting a breakthrough, you know. But maybe that breakthrough hasn't come yet. The key word is yet. Not that the breakthrough didn't come. It hasn't come yet. That's the way I always see it. You know, it's like, look, It's not that I didn't get it. It's like I haven't got it yet. But really, I know God's already done it. It's just for it to be fulfilled. You know, so today we're coming together as a powerful force. Together in prayer. Now I'm trying to show the reasons why we do these things together in prayer. You know, God will definitely reward your tears of faith. But that reward will come faster when you get the cavalry, the prayer cavalry. That's the troops that are coming in to save the day. That's the air support when you are in battle. Those are military terms. You call for air support, and all of a sudden, you see the air support coming, shooting all the enemy away from you. That's right. You know, so when you are pinned down like that, you need to call for air support. We are here by the grace of God to provide air support for you today. Praise God. So that as we close out this quarter, going in blazing, guns blazing into the next quarter. That's right. Glory to God. You can do it too with help. Moses had to learn that. You can't do it alone. You need Joshua. You need Aaron. And you need her. Now, that's three people, you know, but he also needed a whole army too, you know. Moses was standing in the place of prayer. That's a great thing. The prayer intercessors, they are the ones that make the battle go in your favor. You need prayer intercessors in your corner. Joshua was a man of war. He didn't mess around. He's not carrying any staffs or rods or all these things. He's carrying that sword. You know, Moses had the rod. Joshua had the sword. That's it. Sword is what he will carry. And if he sees you with a sword, he's ready to fight. You know, but Moses, he had his own ways. Joshua had their ways. They walked together. That's fine. But when even in prayer, Moses knew that the prayer was necessary. He knew it. And he understood. He understood that prayer support was needed. But even with the prayer support, he couldn't do it alone. He needed other supporters. Other helpers, the Aaron and the Hur that he needed. Today, there's prayer support for you in this room, right here, today. All you really need is one more person to believe the Lord with you. Well, I offer you that today. I'm going to believe the Lord with you in prayer. Praise the Lord. The prayers that you have been, you know, praying before the Lord and believing God for. Today, we're going to do something about that together. Praise God. But I declare to you, first of all, you know, some hope. Bible talks about prisoners of hope. Well, I declare to you today that those prayers that you have been praying before the Lord, the hour has come for a release. Glory to God. Now, will you pray with me? Will you believe the Lord with me today? You know, I want you to get ready because we're going to do something here powerful in a moment. Glory to God. You know, and I want you to take those prayers, you know, bring them frontlets as your eyes. In other words, zero in on the thing, that thing that you have been believing God for. Let's think about it. I'm going to give you a moment, you know, to write it down somewhere special. because that's what we're going to pray over together today. Praise the Lord. Write it down somewhere special. Take a moment to write it down. Write it before the Lord. It's like, you know, you take the letter and you spread it before the Lord. There are some people that did that very well in the Bible. Hezekiah, he spread it, the letter, before the Lord. When Sennacherib and Rabshakeh came to just chide them, profane the name of the Lord, and do all these things, you know, blaspheme the name of the Lord and everything, they spread the letter before the Lord. So you write it and you spread it before the Lord. Now, if you're standing in prayer today for yourself or for someone else, now don't write the details of the prayer. Write the details of the prayer in your own journal. But write your name in the chat room or the name of the person that you are believing God for. Now, keep the details to yourself, but put your name there. It's a blessing barrel today. You know, and if your name is in that barrel, something good is going to happen because God called for it. And now we have prayer support in this room today. You know, think of it as you've called in the cavalry, or the cavalry coming to save the day. Praise the Lord. You know, helpers are there now. Moses couldn't do it alone. Can't do it. Esther couldn't do it alone. Daniel couldn't do it alone. Even Jesus needed some people, and he was disappointed when they didn't help. When they were sleeping, when they should have been praying, Jesus said, wow, you couldn't watch with me for just 1 hour. You know, the thing that would have taken Jesus 1 hour, it took him 3 hours. He had to go, come, they were still sleeping. When come, they're still sleeping. When come, they're still sleeping. Finally, he said, okay, fine, sleep on now. If they would have gotten there with him in prayer, it would have taken him 1 hour. But that's what Jesus said. Watch with me for 1 hour. They couldn't do it. They went, you had to go again and do it. You had to go again and do it. You know, they get in with Jesus. 1 hour, they could have got it done. Even Jesus needed help. There were times that even angels came and helped him. You know, when the angels saw that Peter, James, and John were not helping, well, the father said, okay, you guys go there and strengthen him. His brethren that should have been strengthening him, they were sleeping. So you guys go there and strengthen him. So an angel of the Lord came there and held up his hands. Held up his knees that were feeble. Probably gave him something to sit on or whatever. Held up his hands. Strengthen him. How do you strengthen him? Well, you hold up their hands that are hanging down in prayer. You give him a stool to sit on. just like they did for Moses. I don't know what the angel did to Jesus, but he certainly did something to strengthen him. And Jesus said, yeah, thank you. And he said, thank you to the Father. And he prayed some more. Blood was coming. Now he got the power. He got the strength now. He prayed now. You know, powerful prayer. Was sweating blood. You know, he needed some help to pray that sweating blood prayer. And the angel was there to help him. And he got the victory. He was going to get the victory over the prison that the devil had put people in. It was a pearl of great price that he was going for, to get the gold and get that pearl. That's you and me that are sitting here today. And I said, Jesus, he went for it and he got it too. He needed some help to do it, you know. And so these are lessons that we learn, you know, and hopefully by now you got your prayer together. I want you to put your name in the chat room. You don't need to put the prayer details. You just put your name. And if you're standing in the gap for somebody else, put their name in the chat room. You don't need to put the details of the prayer. You write down the details for yourself. Glory to God. And we're calling in the Calvary. Praise God. You know, the Lord said, look, I looked for a man to stand in the gap. And when I didn't find any, well, unfortunately, my salvation then returned to me. The salvation that he should have dished out returned to him. But there was nobody to stand in the gap. Is there a person here that can make up the hedge? Is there someone that can stand in the gap? I'm raising my hand. I say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to stand in the gap for your people today. I'm going to stand in the gap, make up the hedge. That's right. And we do it not only while we are on this platform. Sometimes we do it even when we're not here. We're standing in the gap. We're standing in prayer for somebody. Glory to God. And we need you to recognize that. When you need help, reach out for prayer. Find a prayer trusted partner, a trusted prayer partner that you can lean upon. They've proven themselves faithful. They stood there before. They've had your back. That's right. And then you also have their back in return. Glory to God. God will do powerful things. If any two of you shall agree as touching anything that you will ask. Powerful promise. Well, let's agree together today. Now, I'm waiting for you to put your name there, because now I'm going to release a declaration that's going to bring an atmosphere shift. That's going to change the trajectory of the timeline that you are in. It is something that should have been done. That wasn't done. The snail spirit, the procrastinating spirit, the devil spirit, any kind of spirit, serpentine, otherwise Jezebel, all of them that have been holding you captive. I'm going to speak a word. Jesus said, if I come against you with the finger of God, if that's how I do it, then the kingdom of God is upon you. So I'm coming with the finger of God today. And I'm coming with a word of fire. Glory to God. Against the blockers, against the gates, against the bars, you know, and we're lifting up your tears of faith together. And we're declaring that a harvesting of joy is coming for you. Praise the Lord. Are you ready? Because in a moment, I am going to pray the prayer of faith. It's actually more than just a prayer. It's a declaration that I'm going to make. Praise the Lord. Because the word is in my mouth. The Bible says the word of faith is in your mouth. Well, it's in my mouth. So I'm going to release it on your behalf. In agreement with your faith over your prayer that you'll be praying, crying to the Lord about, we're going to believe the Lord today that your season of harvest is here. Hallelujah. We're closing out the first quarter of this month, of this year. We're about to enter into the second quarter, and there is coming a release for you. We're now in spring, and something good is going to spring forth for you. Praise the Lord. Will you put your faith in Christ today? For even those that may be listening to this that are still struggling with darkness, you need the light. Jesus is that light. Will you put your faith in Christ today? Glory to God. We don't want to leave this without an opportunity for people to give their lives over to the Lord, to trust the Lord with your life. That's it. Trust Jesus with your life today. If you can trust the Lord with your life today, he'll pull you out of darkness. Glory to God. For God, we are told, who has brought us out of darkness, you know, translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Wow. He did that before, and he'll do it again. Praise the Lord. He will bring you out of darkness and cause you to inherit light. Glory to God. Listen to this in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. You know, it says, well, let me just read it to you for a little bit. Maybe I'll start from, you know, verse 9. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This was Paul's prayer for these people, that the Lord, you know, will give you strength, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. He's going to strengthen the weak hands, the hands that are hanging down, the feeble knees too, you know, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Joy is coming. And I will give thanks unto the Father that has made it appropriate for us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Made it so for you too. Anybody that's listening to this, you can partake of this inheritance that God has purchased for the saints through the work that Christ did. Hallelujah. Even in this season, you know, the world is talking about the work that Christ did. Well, you know, God, he said, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, which is the kingdom of light, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Will you receive that redemption today and the forgiveness of your sins? Will you have your heart turned today from the ways of the world and turn to the Lord? Well, all these prayers are here for you today. And we are praying and believing, even in the contending prayer, that souls will be saved. Not just God meet our natural physical needs, going to meet the needs of bringing souls to the kingdom. Some people will come for prayer. They'll get a double blessing. You get that prayer and then you get the salvation of your soul. Powerful stuff. Glory to God. Okay, I'm ready to pray. Now is the hour. Jesus said in John chapter 17, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glory to God. You know, and I want to speak it like Jesus said. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thyself, Lord, in the word of the Lord today, that we also may glorify you. The hour has come for the harvesting of joy as a reward to your servants and your children, the saints that have been crying unto you with their tears of faith. The harvest of joy is knocking on the door. Glory to God. Father, I release, glory to God, a harvesting of joy that have been held back. Open ye the gates and let the people, the righteous nation, go in. Glory to God. Let them go in and take that which is theirs. The door is open for you. By this prayer of faith, as I believe with you, whatever you are believing God for, because you put your name here, Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. It is done. The Lord said, I am Alpha and Omega. Huh? It is done. Behold, I make all things new. Glory to God. All things new. There's a new thing coming for you as we close out this quarter and enter into the new quarter. It's a new thing. God is always doing new things. He loves to do new things. He's always doing new things. There's always something new around the corner for you. And the new thing that I'm praying that you will receive is a harvest of joy for all your tears of faith. He that goeth forth with weeping in faith, bearing precious seed. That precious seed is your faith in the word of God. Your weeping alone is not going to do it. But when you make good faith in that seed, which is the word of God, it becomes precious because your faith is mixed with it. Well, that's the revelation of that verse. You're weeping, but it's based upon the word of God and your faith in that word. You're crying unto the Lord. That's fine. He will turn around, give you a harvest of joy. Today is the beginning of that harvest of joy for you. I release it in Jesus' name. Libaro sankanderi mashakaru basaya. Liarabakandozi maturi kashederi masuria. Kaibuno satuli. Satuli ba kandus kileba jonjo josi makaria. Ya. Those forces of darkness. And I say, aha, aha. I cut them off the head in Jesus' name. Let their heads be cut off. The head of the serpentine spirit, let it be cut off. Let the Jezebel spirit be brought down. Let the snail spirit, all those things that hindered you, let them be moved out of the way. Let the glory of the Lord come upon the people of God. Let your head be lifted and the hands that hang down. There's help today. The knees that are feeble, receive strength in Jesus' name. God is bringing the cavalry to your rescue. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.